Good morning, Glendale. Welcome. And I hope you're enjoying the comfort or soon to be comfort of our brand new chairs. You are the first to sit in them. Thank you for your generosity. We've got 500 chairs set up here, and this is the very first Sunday that we've had anybody seated in our brand new chairs. So, as you can see, there are plenty of open seats. I wonder whom it is we will pray to fill these seats. Let us think about who we can invite, because there is no shortage of important things that God's Word can do for our community. In God's Word, one of the great images that's used regularly is that of valleys. Valleys are oftentimes pictured in Scripture as low points in people's lives. We think this way very often. Valleys are sort of seen as a contraposition to mountains. We are often beckoned to ascend the mountain of the Lord and encounter Yahweh atop it. And when we have a mountaintop experience, oh, it is glorious. But we know full well that we do not always live on the mountaintops. Much of our lives is lived in the valley. The valley is not always a bad thing, though. Valleys can be fertile. Valleys are where food is grown. Valleys are where we reside. What we must understand is that the same God who lives atop the mountain and encounters us there also encounters us in our valleys. And that's what this sermon series will be about. From Labor Day to Thanksgiving, we will be talking about different valleys in Scripture. Some geographical valleys, physical locations where very important historical events transpired. Some conceptual valleys, where Scripture highlights the very nature of Yahweh, our God, so that we can better understand Him and better place our faith in His saving grace. Today, our very first valley through which we will together walk is the Valley of Decision. Oh, decisions are all around us, aren't they? The Valley of Decision is a conceptual valley in which Yahweh stands to judge the nations. Who can stand against the gaze of our perfect God's decision and verdict? No nation, no individual on its or on his own accord can stand, and yet we know full well that before the creation of the world, Yahweh chose us. We do not need to fear walking through the Valley of Decision, for it is God's rendering of decision against us. And yet, even though that may cause fear, that may cause trepidation in our lives, we know full well that we can stand confidently in the Valley of Decision, for Yahweh Himself has provided us with the means by which confidently to approach His judgment seat. You see, our God is the perfect being. The God that we worship is not like the mere demiurges or lower gods that some foolishly follow. No, our God is not limited to location or time. Our God is not merely the God of the mountain or the God of the valley or the God of the river or the God of the sun. Our God is the God of the entire universe. For at His word, the universe was created. Our God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, eternal, necessary, and triune. And this one triune God, who has always and must exist, He exists as three divine persons in the one being. The Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are the three persons of God. Our God is not just personal, He's tri-personal. And He wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us, for each and every one of us has been made in His image. And therefore, each and every one of us has been endowed with reason, with rationality, with the capacity to give and receive love and to enter into relationship. And Yahweh wants to have relationship with us, just as he knows each and every hair on our head, and just as he knows our names. He too has revealed his personal name unto us so that we may call him by name. The name of our God is Yahweh. Yahweh is the Father, Yahweh is the Son, Yahweh is the Spirit. And God's divine and eternal plan has always been one of glorious saving those made in his image, needing saving because of our decision to rebel. Each and every one of us has chosen the rebellious path. Each and every one of us has walked out of the good light of God and instead embraced the darkness of our own hearts, the callousness of the world around us, and we have decided foolishly to follow the world and its ways rather than God. And yet, Yahweh's plan is marvelous. God the Father sent God the Son. We know him as Jesus. His name means Yahweh saves, for his name highlights his very nature, the second person of the Trinity, and his very mission. He came to save us. The second person of the Trinity stepped out of heaven and he entered our realm to save us. He lived a perfect and sinless life. His name is Jesus, and he showed us the way. He is the way, and he walked with us, experiencing the same mountaintop experiences that we all have, experiencing the same valleys through which we all trod, and he rescued us. He died on the cross, which should have been reserved for us, for any time one made in the image of God sins against God, one is separated from God. You cannot earn your way to God's good graces. You cannot good your way to God. No matter how much good you do, you still owe a recompense for your sinfulness. You cannot save yourselves, but we do not need to save ourselves, for it is God himself who came to save us. And just as Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, was raised again from the dead for our justification, it is now the third person of the Trinity, God the Spirit, Yahweh the Spirit, who indwells each and every believer, helping us to walk confidently, even through the valley of decision. For there will come a time when Yahweh renders his decision against the nations. And the valley of decision is not merely our decision to follow him, but his decision as to whether or not we are righteous in his eyes. There is a book in the Old Testament found towards the back. It is only 3 chapters long. Its name is Joel. The book of Joel is a mighty little book that describes the day of Yahweh. The text for today, which describes the valley of decision, will be found in Joel chapter 3. You can turn in your scriptures there, or you can follow along on the screen behind me as we look to the word of Yahweh and we see his decision revealed. Joel chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, read as follows. Let the nations be roused up and come up to the valley of Yahweh's judgment, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Send in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon grow dark and the stars lose their brightness. And Yahweh roars from Zion and gives forth his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth quake. But Yahweh is a refuge for his people and a strong defense to the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am Yahweh your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers will pass through it no more. In this small enigmatic text, The day of Yahweh is revealed, and it is a fearsome day to be sure. For all those who are not covered by Yahweh's grace stand in judgment, and we cannot stand against Yahweh's judgment. It will be a terrible and fearsome thing when the Lord returns and when he judges all the nations of the earth. Now, these few verses are replete with biblical imagery. And what we should do to understand the valley of decision, and what should be our decision in light of the looming decision of God himself, shall be revealed. So let us once again look at Joel chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, slowly, line by line, and seeing to which other scriptures this passage alludes and refers, so that we may grow confident in our faith. Let us again consider Joel chapter 3, first verse 12. Let the nations be roused up and come to the valley of Yahweh's judgment, for there I will sit to judge the surrounding nations. God himself calls out. Your translations may say the valley of Jehoshaphat, or the valley of God's rendering, depending on the English version you are reading. But the name Jehoshaphat means Yahweh's verdict, Yahweh's judgment. Let the nations be roused up and come to the valley of Yahweh's judgment. There, Yahweh himself will sit, and he will judge all the surrounding nations. This could be a fearsome thing, but we who understand the full revelation of God know which specific person of God will do the judging. In the New Testament, verse 10 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, we hear the second person of the Trinity is the one who will do the judging. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. When we find ourselves in the valley of decision and God is about to render his verdict, the one before whom we stand is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who will judge. It is the second person of the Trinity, the one to whom all authority on heaven and on earth has been given. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and each and every one of us will be recompensed for the things we have done in the body, whether good or bad. We will be judged. This could be very, very scary, but for those who have accepted God's grace, the punishment for all the bad things we have ever done in the body has already been paid. Jesus has died upon the cross for our sins, and we who are in Christ need not to fear judgment, for judgment has to do with punishment, and the punishment for our sins has already been poured out full strength on Jesus himself. And so as we stand before Judge Jesus, he has already paid our penalty, and the only thing left to be recompensed for is the good done in his name. That should provide tremendous comfort for us, for we will not be judged like the rest of the nations. It shall be different. But as we turn back to Joel chapter 3, this time looking at verse 13, we hear Yahweh himself say, "Send in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread. For the winepress is full and the vats overflow, for their evil is great." Here we have two tremendous biblical images: the sickle and the harvest, and then the winepress of the wrath or fury of God. A sickle is an instrument used to gather the harvest, to cut through the wheat so that we can collect what is needed. Now, this is the exact scripture that the Holy Spirit prompted the Apostle John to have in mind as he penned the final book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 19, we read, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sits on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped, and gathered the clusters of the vine of the earth, and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God." The images are double. The earth is ripe for harvest. And Jesus said, the earth is ripe for harvest, but the workers are few, so pray for workers of the harvest. And we who are called to make disciples are to go, rescue as many as Yahweh will save. For when standing in the valley of decision, it will be Yahweh saves himself who takes his sickle and harvests. He will reap the earth, and all those who are not in Christ shall be cut down, and the grapes shall be thrown into the vat, for their evil is great, and the winepress of God's fury, the winepress of Yahweh's wrath, shall be trod out. The image is that there is a wine press and people step and crush on the grapes so that the juice can come out and wine can be procured. But when the fury of God is poured out, his judgment shall be rendered. Well, verse 14 of Joel chapter 3 declares, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, all the multitudes shall be gathered. All the nations of the earth shall be gathered, and judgment shall be had." Again, from the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, this time in verse 7, writes, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude," which no one could count, "from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." Yes. All nations, all tribes, all tongues, all languages shall stand in the valley of decision before the great cloud, before the great throne, before the great judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Yahweh saves. All the multitudes shall be gathered. Joel continues, "For the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness." Joel describes something known as the day of Yahweh. The day of Yahweh is the day of judgment. The day of Yahweh is the day when Yahweh saves. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, returns to earth, having saved those he came to save and having ascended to the throne room of heaven once more. He shall descend again for the second time. The second coming shall happen. And when he comes, the day of Yahweh is here. The sun and moon shall grow dark, and the stars shall lose their brightness. Now, in the Old Testament, those who were called by Yahweh to prophesy prophesied about the day of Yahweh. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 30, verse 3, the great prophet writes, "For the day of Yahweh is near, even the day of Yahweh is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations." And the great prophet Amos says in chapter 5, "Will not the day of Yahweh be darkness instead of light, even thick darkness with no brightness in it?" Those who are not in Yahweh's grace, those who are not saved by Yahweh, they shall be judged. And that judgment shall be dark indeed. For they shall be recompensed for the deeds done in the body. And if Jesus has not already paid your penalty, you yourself shall pay and be recompensed for the sin done in the body. Again, Joel chapter 3, this time verse 16. "And Yahweh roars from Zion and gives forth his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake." Yahweh roars from Zion. Zion is God's holy mountain. Jerusalem is God's holy city. And the heavens and the earth quake when Yahweh roars. consider the prophets once more. The great prophet Jeremiah, he says in chapter 25, verses 30 and 31, Yahweh will roar from on high and give forth his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his pasture. He will bellow a shout like those who tread the grapes against the inhabitants of the earth. A rumbling has come to the end of the earth because Yahweh has a contention against the nations. He is entering into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, he has given them to the sword, declares Yahweh. We're getting the idea over and over and over again. Standing in judgment when not in God's grace is a terrible and fearsome place to be. The sword, the sickle, shall be drawn. Judgment will be had, and all those who stand in opposition to God Almighty, all those to whom we look and we wonder, how long, O God, will you allow those to mock your name? How long, O God, will you allow those to tempt the littlest among us, to try our children and to seek to turn them from you? How long will we endure? How long will they last? For seemingly they prosper. Oh, worry not, Christian. It would be better for a millstone to be tied around their heads and them to be chucked into a lake than for the day of Yahweh to come and they stand outside his good grace. Judgment shall come. Worry not. Until it comes, let us snatch as many from the flames as we can. Again, back to Joel chapter 3. But Yahweh is a refuge for his people and a strong defense to the sons of Israel. Oh, Yahweh will judge, and it is a fearsome thing indeed to stand in judgment before Yahweh himself. But Yahweh is a refuge for his people. You do not need to worry. You who are part of Yahweh's people have already been judged. You have already had the penalty for your sin paid. Yahweh is a refuge for his people. He is a strong defense for the sons of Israel. And we have been grafted in. Jesus has come and saved. Consider how Yahweh is a refuge. Psalm 37 declares, but the salvation of the righteous is from Yahweh. He is their strength in time of distress. Yahweh helps them and protects them. He protects them and saves them because they take refuge in him. Yahweh can save. In fact, Yahweh saves is a name, and that name is Jesus. The name Jesus literally means Yahweh saves. And the salvation of the righteous comes from Yahweh. He is their strength. He will save. He will protect, not because of the good things we have done. No, for no one deserves to be protected by Yahweh. He will protect and save because we take refuge in him. We who recognize that we have sinned against the great God of the universe have no option other than to run to his shelter, than to take refuge in him. It is the only way to stand against the mighty and terrible day of Yahweh and his judgment. He is our salvation. Well, as we turn back to Joel chapter 3, the final verse we will consider, verse 17. Then you will know that I am Yahweh your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers will pass through it no more. Strangers are allowed to pass through God's holy land right now, but not for long. The time will come when he will bellow from his holy mountain, and we, his people, will be declared holy in his sight. Consider earlier in the book of Joel, this time from chapter 2, how Joel foreshadowed what would come. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, says Yahweh, that I am Yahweh your God, and there is no other, and my people will never be put to shame. Sometimes we think that God's people are put to shame. because the world stands scoffing and mocking against God, but it is not so. Consider the New Testament book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where the mighty apostle declares to us, "But you are a chosen family, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Yahweh roars from his holy mountain, from his holy city, Jerusalem. And what is in Jerusalem? God's temple. But now God's temple is God's very people. God's presence dwells in us, not in the physical temple that once resided in the physical city of Jerusalem. No, God's holy presence resides in all those who have been saved by his grace, all those who have accepted his grace by faith. And therefore, we become a chosen family. We become a royal priesthood. We perform the priestly duties that once were reserved merely for a few, now are thrown open to all who would come. We are a people of God's own possession. We are a holy nation. We are considered holy because we are in God's sight. We are in God's presence, and God's very presence is in us. And we have a job to do. And that job is to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We stand and we shine our light before the world of darkness, and we advise them, leave the darkness behind and enter the marvelous light. The excellencies of him who transferred me from the authority of darkness into the kingdom of the Son can be the same excellencies that save even you. This is the message that we can proclaim. This is the message we must proclaim. It is the message of the gospel. There is no gospel without judgment. Judgment will come. Judgment will come. But we do not need to fear judgment, for fear has to do with punishment. Instead, in reverence and in awe, we confidently may stand before the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that he has already paid the penalty for our sins, knowing that the darkness in which we live has been left behind, and all that remains is to live in his marvelous light and declare the excellencies of him who has already saved us. This is our job. This is what we must do. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for Yahweh will decide. So what shall we decide until that day? What shall we decide before the day of Yahweh comes? The Bible tells us very clearly what we ought to do. Psalm 100 says, serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Serve Yahweh. Serve him with gladness. Serve him with joyful songs. Know that Yahweh is God. He is the one who made us. We are his sheep. We are his people. We are in his pasture. Yes, we must serve Yahweh. Serving Yahweh and choosing to do so is one of the great calls of Scripture. In fact, there may be a verse that many of you have in artistic form in your homes. This verse is Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. It is Yahweh's decision. But before the day of Yahweh comes, we have a choice to make. We have a decision. We see the looming and impending decision that Yahweh will render. We know the decision to come. None can stand against the weight of Yahweh's gaze. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet we who take refuge in Yahweh, we who have been saved by him, may stand, not because of the good we have done, but merely because of the good that he has done, the grace that he has poured out for us. What shall we do? What shall we do? We shall choose to serve Yahweh. This must be the call of our lives, to serve Yahweh, the triune master of heaven and earth. We must choose, each and every one of us. As for me, I will serve Yahweh. Each one of us must choose to serve Yahweh personally. Each one of us must decide on our own accord, in our own time, in our own way, to serve him personally. We must have a personal relationship with Yahweh saves. Jesus must be the Lord of our life, the Savior of our hearts, the one who has saved and called us. Yahweh the Spirit, Yahweh the Father, and Yahweh the Son, all working in tandem inside us. We must have relationship. Each one of us must personally read the Word of God. Each one of us must personally enjoy Yahweh's presence and praise and serve and worship and give and do all the generous things he's called us to do. And each of us must corporately join together, as we are doing right now, the whole church family gathered together to study the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to break bread, to pray. This is what we must do as a large group, gather together. But we must also take that middle lane towards Christlikeness. And we must serve Yahweh in a smaller setting. Here at Glendale, we call them connection groups. It's hard as we look around and we see 400 people. It's hard to know everyone. But it is necessary to know someone. We are known by Yahweh, but it is also necessary to be known by some of his people. And so we join either a Bible study or a life group or a recreation and activity club or one of our opportunities to serve, our serve teams and missions opportunities. We can do ministry together. Each and every one of us has a role to play, for each and every one of us is part of the very body of Christ. None can stand idly by. None can say, someone else has knowledge. None can say, someone else will serve. All must say, I will grow in knowledge. All must say, I will serve the Lord. All must say, I will be involved. And there are many opportunities for us to be involved. Two that I'd like to draw your attention to are coming up this semester. We have an opportunity to celebrate the Fall Festival. Now, we do this just a few days before Halloween, and we provide an alternative to Halloween, a trunk or treat right here at church where we gather candy, and we give candy out to kids who need candy. And we say, oh, yes, come to our trunks, and you shall receive the candy. And we beckon people, come. And it is fun, and we take our candy, and we dress up as Superman, or we dress up as Barbie, as it might be, and we give ourselves, just give some of the candy out. Pass it. There is so much candy. These are a little bit harder. I can throw these a little bit farther. There's so much candy. And we need a lot. So here's what I ask you to do. Here's a bag. You can give these out to everybody you see. I want you as a family to decide that you will collect candy and bring it to us. I want you to decide how you will serve at the Fall Festival. Will you dress up in a superhero suit or another costume? Will you decorate your trunk? Will you come and watch the bounce house? Will you serve the popcorn and the hot chocolate? Will you be there with a smile on your face? Do you know last year we had like 2,000 people come through our parking lot? Imagine the service opportunity. Imagine how we can serve Yahweh. And that's not the only way. For you also see in my hand, I have a shoebox, an Operation Christmas Child box. And each year, what we do as a congregation is we decide that we will serve Yahweh by blessing children around the world who have no opportunity to receive myriad presents as so many of our children are used to receiving on Christmas morn. And instead, what we will do this year, as families, I will encourage you as a family to take an Operation Christmas Child box. And inside, you will find a packing slip that encourages you and tells you exactly what needs to be secured, what needs to be purchased, what is allowed and what is not allowed. And what you will do as a family is you will save and you will shop and you will pray and you will pack and you will bring completed boxes back to Glendale Christian Church, and we will send about 300 boxes out to needy children this year. I believe that we can serve together. We can serve Yahweh. These are two very practical and easy opportunities. The Fall Festival and Operation Christmas Child beckon you to serve, whether you have children or not. We need your help, for there are not enough hands to get done all the work if only few hands come to do the service. Please choose to serve Yahweh. And speaking of a family, would you please this semester, at least once in a while, would you have a family meal? Would you gather your whole family together? Would you have a family devotional time? Would you read the Word of God and pray together? Would you partake in family prayer? Would you do this together? Because it's not just individual and big group. It's also smaller setting. And one of the great smaller settings in which to serve Yahweh, one of the ways in which you can choose to serve Him, is with your family. These are ways that we can choose. These are decisions that we can make. This is what lies before us. We will walk through 10 more valleys, some conceptual, like the Valley of Decision, some geographical, and we will be blessed by Yahweh's word as it is poured out to us, and we will choose. We will choose, for we must choose. So choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. We all have that choice. Each and every one of us has that choice. And each and every one of us, as leaders of our family, leaders of our congregation, leaders of our community, leaders of our jobs, leaders of our neighborhood, leaders of our schools, have the chance to decide, will we follow the foolishness of the world, or will we choose a better path? As for GCC in my house, we will serve Yahweh. If you will serve Yahweh, will you stand with me this morning? Will you stand with me now so that we can pray to Yahweh, ask His blessing upon our lives so that we can serve Him in powerful and effective ways? Let us go to Yahweh Almighty in prayer. Dear Yahweh, we love you. We acknowledge who you are, for you are the triune God of the universe. You are the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, eternal, necessary, triune master of heaven and earth, and we stand in awe of you. We stand in reverence of you, knowing that we cannot stand before your judgment unless we take refuge in you. The day of Yahweh will come, and you shall return, Yahweh saves, Lord Jesus. And upon your return, all the nations shall be gathered in the Valley of Decision. All the nations will stand before you and your judgment seat, and you will render judgment. And all those outside of your grace will fall. But all those who have already taken the knee and have already accepted your grace through faith and have already been saved, we'll see the culmination of our salvation be completed as we receive our resurrection bodies and we enjoy time everlasting with you. There is time temporary before you return, and we pray that in that intervening time, you would work in us in powerful and mighty ways to serve you, to choose you, to declare the excellencies of you, the one who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. O Yahweh, we choose to serve you. We love you. But please do not merely take our word for it. See it in our actions as we bring and give candy for the fall festival. See it in our actions as we, as a family, whether our budgets are large or our budgets are tight, help us to pray and decide this day whether we will bless some child around the world by maybe assembling a box, maybe saving a few dollars each week so that we can bless someone else this year. See it in our actions as we connect with others in a small setting, studying your word, doing life together, serving together, playing together. And today, as we eat together, as we break bread together, not just as we pray together, but as we play and have fun and slide together, may you be glorified in every action of our lives. For Yahweh, we love you, but we pray that you would not merely take our word for it, but that you would see it in our actions. This we pray in your perfect name. Amen.